Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Yevamos Daf Beis. Says the Mishnah, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, the following 15 women, Poitrois Soreisein, not only are they themselves exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, but actually they will be poiter, they will exempt their tzoros as well. What is a tzora? That's a fellow wife, a second wife married to the same husband. Why is she called a tzora? Tupshatim nerishonim. Either a tzora is miloshen tsar, it's narrow, it's crowded, which is what happens when you have two women in the same household. Or miloshen tsar ba'oyev, a feeling of enmity, of competition, of tension reigns between these two women who are perhaps vying for domination, for attention from their husband. In any case, if an Isha is an Erva, she will affect the fellow wife, the second wife as well, Vitzoreh Tzoreseen, and in turn that Tzora, who was affected by the first Isha, we'll soon explain this in great detail, but this is the opening line of the Mishnah, so the Isha affects her Tzora, the Tzora will affect her Tzora, Vitzoreh Tzoreseen, Mina Chalitza, Umina Yibam, to the extent that they are potter from all the mitzvahs, whether it's chalitza or it's yibam, ad seifa olam, until the end of the line, all the way down. It's a chain reaction. Before we get into specifics and explain this halacha, just a quick introduction. So we have Reuben and Shimon, two brothers who share the same father. So they were both living at the same time. Reuben passes away without children, childless. Shimon, the surviving brother, is now called the Yabam, who can go ahead and be Mekayim Mitzvahs Yibam by marrying Reuven's, his deceased brother's wife. And the Ramban and Parshas Vayeshev elaborates on this. Other Mepharshim bring the Zohar, Al Pi Kabbalah, there's a concept of the second brother, the surviving brother, taking over, so to speak, the family of the first brother, coming in his place, coming in his stead. The Pasuk says that one shall give birth, the new son, Yakum al Shem Achav Hames, and the Rabban says it doesn't mean that after Yibam, they named the new child born from the Yibam, they gave him the same name as the deceased brother. It doesn't necessarily mean that, it just means that he takes over. And Farshim explain, based on the concept of Gilgal HaNeshamos, the neshama of the departed brother will now be reinserted into this new son born through the Yibam, and he comes alive again, so to speak. That's a pshat in Yakum al Shem Achav Ames. So when Shimon performs Yibam, marries Reuben's wife, they have a son, the Mace's neshama revisits the world with the concept of Gilgal HaNeshamos, and this is a tikkun for Reuven. This helps him out. This greatly benefits him. Gives him another chance at life. This extends his family arrangement. And that's what the mitzvah of Yibam is all about, explains the Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev. Okay, so now Reuven dies childless. Shimon is the Yavam. He's meant to perform one of two mitzvahs. He has a choice. Either Yibam, by actually marrying the Yavama, Reuven's wife, her name is Rachel, he can marry her, be Mekayim mitzvah Yibam. Typically, not meant to marry a sister-in-law. But there's an exception. Mitzvah Yibam allows it, provided they have no children. Or you can choose for Chalitza. He declares, look, I'm not interested in doing the Yibam. We apply the Chalitza procedure. She removes his shoe. She spits in his face. And that's the process of Chalitza, which takes the place of Yibam. Now, before we continue, Taisus Yeshanim on the side asks the Kash, Ish Makshim, why don't we begin Seder Noshem with Yibam? Yibam is a tragic event. As a result of a tragic event, it's a Puranas. Shouldn't we start with something positive? Start with Kiddushin. Start with Ksubas on a positive note. Happy occasion, a marriage. And then go into Yivamas, which should be the last Masecht in Noshem. So actually we find, amongst the Rishon, we find no less than five Tirutzim to this Kasha. Taisus Shon provides three Tirutzim. Number one, he says, look, we just finished Moed. Right, Katan discusses Puranas, discusses tragic events towards the end of the Masechta. That's the topic of discussion. And therefore, we join Puranas with Puranas. We continue on the same topic. We go from one tragic event to the other. We stay on topic. Another pshat, he says, when you start speaking about Nashim and marriage, you have to know, who can you marry? And who may you not marry? Who's the Erva? Who's forbidden? Who's permitted? So that's the point of starting with this Masechta. Look, these 15. There's a full list of the Arayis. So this comes first. And then later on we discuss the Allah is pertinent to Kedushin itself. Another pshat, he says, interesting pshat, Mishum dehi mitzvah rishoyna she'ira benoshim. This was the first mitzvah pertaining to women. Like it says by Tamar with Yehuda, Boy Elisha Sachicha b'yabim Isa. So the first mitzvah pertaining to women mentioned in the Torah is Yibam. So that's why it's apropos that it's the first mitzvah discussed in Seder Nashim. I saw a couple other terutzim. One is that as opposed to Kedushin, which is by choice, right? Yibam is mukhrach. It's something you're meant to do. It's an obligatory mitzvah. You can't just pick and choose. This is a mitzvah the Torah gave you. Marry this woman. So therefore this precedes the topic of Yibam precedes and is learned in advance of the conventional halachas of Kedushin, which are marriages by choice. Another pshat I once saw, I forget where it was, that Yibam is a heavenly marriage. In fact, the Gemara Kedushin of Beis calls it Isha Hiknu Loi Min Hashamayim. You see, in contrast to regular Kedushin, where a person picks his spouse, he thinks he picks his spouse, it's all predestined, of course, but it's something which you do by choice. It's something which you do. It's your masa kedushin. Yibum is a heavenly granted, so to speak, a heavenly granted woman. Isha hiknu lo min hashamayim. In fact, it doesn't cost you any money. You don't even have to buy a ring. It's sort of you're just taking over the marriage of your brother. So this is a marriage which is more heavenly, so to speak. It's coming on to the person from Shamayim, and therefore it sort of stands higher in importance and chashivas than the conventional Kiddushin, and therefore we discuss this first, and then later on Kiddushin. Okay, so the Mishnah speaks about 15 women. Now all 15 have something in common. They're Arayas, they're Asr. They're Asr to who? So Reuven was the fellow who passed away without children. Shimon is this Yavam, the candidate, the fellow who can potentially be Mekayim Yibam. Problem is like this. Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel so happens to be Shimon's daughter. That's okay. Reuven can marry Shimon's daughter. She happens to be Shimon's mother-in-law. She happens to be Shimon's sister from his mother's side. And so on and so forth. 15 separate examples of Arayis who were married to Reuven, his brother with whom he shares a father. It's very probable that many Arayas that are Arayas to Shimon are not Arayas to Reuven, if they only share a father and not a mother. So in all these cases, says the Mishnah, there is no mitzvah sibam. Why? Because mitzvah sibam means the Yavam, Shimon, the surviving brother, will address his sister-in-law. But only if all she is a sister-in-law. So although typically a sister-in-law is an erva as well, you're not meant to marry your brother's wife, but when it comes to Yibam, Torah is mater that isser, suspends the isser, provided that's the only isser she has. But if on top of being a sister-in-law, she's also his daughter, she's also his mother-in-law. She has dual identity, and she's an erva. Irrespective of the fact that she's a sister-in-law, in that case, there is no Yibam. She's pater from Yibam, from Chalitza. She's not on the table. She's off the scene. And not only that, these 15 women are pater themselves, and by extension, they affect the fellow wife as well. So Reuven, the departed brother, had two wives. Rachel, who happens to be the daughter of Shimon, so she's off the table. But he had a wife called Leah as well. He was married to two women at the same time. Leah is a tzara of Rachel. She's a competing wife with Rachel. And since Rachel was an erva on Shimon, So it turns out that when Reuben dies, both his wives are potential Yevamis, and one of them can't fulfill mitzvah sim. One of them is an erva. Rachel is Shimon's daughter. So her status, her erva status, her exemption from Yevam status, affects not only herself, but it spreads throughout the entire household, including Leah, the other wife. She's a tzoras erva, and now she's potter from Yevam as well. Because we look at the whole household as one entity, one unit. You can't have Yibum on one and not on the other. In fact, Rashi and Amar Beis tells us that when one passes away, leaving two wives behind, all you need to do is address one of them. And that sort of addresses the entire household. You're not Miyabim both. You never Miyabim more than one Yibama. So in effect, you're addressing the entire household as a unit, as a single entity. And if part of that entity is ineligible for Yibum, that ineligibility extends throughout the entire household. Everybody's potter from Yibum, and it's considered like a regular sister-in-law, in which case she's also Yibum. If there's no heter, then it's also. That's what it means when we say Chomesh Esrei Noshim, the 15 Arayis. Again, we're speaking that she's an Erva to Shimon, the surviving brother, but not an Erva to Reuven, the one who passed away. She was Kashat him. She was Mutat him. So those 15 women, when they are presenting themselves to Shimon for Yibum, of course they're potter because they're arayis. But not only are they potter themselves, they are poteris tzeres, saying that poter extends to the other wife as well, who joined her, who's part of the same mishpacha, with tzeres tzeres, saying, and in turn, that tzera, in this case we're speaking about Leah, who was a tzera to Rachel, that tzeras erva, that woman Leah, if she goes and she marries another brother, who had a pre-existing wife. So now he has two wives, the tzaras erva plus Bilha. Since Leah already attained that title, she was considered a tzaras erva, she became usher to Shimon, right, the first time around. So even though now she's married to a different brother, to Levi. And Levi already had another wife, Bilha. And Levi passes away without children. They're both Aser to be misyabim by Shimon. Because just as Leah became Aser, and once she becomes Aser, she's Aser for all time, that Aser extends to the other wife as well, to the Tzara Tzara. It's like a contagious disease, just carries on and on and on. Vitzara Tzara Sein. That's what it means, the second stage as well. Umin Achalitz, Umin Ayibah, from all the mitzvahs, Atzoy Fa'ilam. Until the end of time, basically, all the way down the road. It just extends and extends and affects all the tzaras all the way down. Who are these 15 women? Let's go down the list. Eluhain, Bitoy. So again, we're speaking about Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died childless. Shimon is a surviving brother. Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel was Shimon's daughter. Or Ubas Bitoy. She was his daughter's daughter, granddaughter. Ubas Bnoi, daughter of his son. Ubas Ishtai, daughter of his wife. Daughter of his married wife. What we said when we said Bitoi, his daughter, it meant his daughter from his unmarried wife. Rashi says a forced relationship, an oinus. A different variation of erva. Okay, Ubas Bnoi, or his wife's daughter's daughter. Ubas Bita, son's daughter. Bas Bnoi means daughter of her son. Ubas Bita, daughter of a daughter. Chamoisei. If this Isha happens to be Shimon's mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamoisei, the mother of his mother-in-law, Ve'im Chav, the mother of his father-in-law, Vachoisei Me'ima, let's say she's his sister with whom he shares a mother, and she went and married Reuven, which is okay, unrelated to Reuven, with whom he only shares a father. Vachoisei Ima, let's say Rachel was the sister of Shimon's mother, Vachoisei Ishtai, or the sister of his wife, Ve'ishes Achav Me'ima, let's say she was the wife of his brother with whom he shares a mother. And all these were married to Reuven. Reuven dies childless. They're considered arayis to Shimon. And they're not potential Yevama candidates to Shimon. Okay, we have a little extra time. Perhaps let's catch up on the Rashis. I'll start from the top. So the Rashi, Chamesh Yisrei Noshim Poitir Tzirisim Ketani Sefer, as the Mishnah later will explain itself. Shim Hoysa Achaz Menu Sol Achiv. Suppose Shimon's daughter is married to Reuven. V'loisha acheres, Reuven happens to be married to another woman as well, to Leah. Umeis b'loi banam, Reuven passes away without children. Shtein p'turois, both women are potter from Yibum. V'etama yolf v'gemor, as the Gemara will tell us the reason for this. V'etzoreis t'rasein atzefa ilam. Masnissen b'farsh. Later on, the Mishnah itself, we're going to have an elaboration on this halacha. So who are the 15? Chamoisai, a mother-in-law, Shemeis Bala, whose husband died, Venasa Achiv, and then she married his brother Reuven, Meis Blei Banim, who died childless. Or Ve'em Chamoisai, Ve'em Chamav, father of his mother-in-law. Sorry, the mother of his mother-in-law, or the mother of his father-in-law. Shtein Asur Eslam Yishim Erva, they're both Asur on Shimon, Kilsiv, Ervas Isher B'Tilei Segala, Esbas Penov, Esbas Pito, don't marry an Isha and her daughter, and that doesn't allow him to marry his in-laws. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses. Then Rashi adds a point. When the Mishnah speaks about bitoi, or bas bitoi, bas benoi, we're not speaking about from a proper marriage. Ubitoi dehocha bebitoi manus sosa kemairi was a product of a forced relationship. Mechem bas bitoi, bas benoi, because his proper daughter, that's discussed later on in the Mishnah. Dilu bita mi ishtoi, from his proper wife who he married. Haynu bas ishtoi, dechiv and dechsiv isho bita. So bas ishtoi is discussed the next line. Dechiv and dechsiv isho bita. Pasuk speaks about refraining from marrying an ish and a daughter. Lo ishna mimenu. Lo ishna mi ish acher. Don't marry a woman and her daughter. It doesn't say your daughter. So even if his wife happened to have a daughter from another marriage, it's also included in the Isser. So that's what the Mishnah means, Bas Ishtoi, or Bas Beno, Bas Pita. He married an Isha. He shouldn't be marrying her offspring, irrelevant, irrespective of whether it came from him or from another marriage. But the first part of the Mishnah, Bitoi, Bas Pita, Bas Beno, speaking, it's his personal offspring. Even if it came from a forced relationship, not from his proper wife. But if it's a daughter from an anusa, that's not learned from this pasuk, from isha bita. Why? The isha, because the word isha means a properly married woman. So from where then do you know that a bas anusasa is also mikrachrina nafka b'mashik b'mor? The Gemara will actually teach it to us from another pasuk. Down the list we have a choseh mi'imay. So this yivamo falls to him. Falls means that she presents itself to Yibam, for Yibam, happens to be Achoisim Imai, his sister, with whom he shares a mother. And then she went and she married Reuven, his brother from his father's side. That's okay, that's legitimate. Shenisas La'achiv, Me'aviv, Umeis, and then Reuven passes away. V'chein Achois Imai, same applies to a sister of his mother. Shenasa Achiv Me'aviv, who then proceeded to marry Reuven, his brother from his father's side. Because when we speak about brothers pertaining to Yibam, they have to be brothers who share a father. That defines Loshon Ach by Yibam. She'en chiv Yibam ela ba'achav ben ha'av. Have to share the same father. T'chsiv ki yeshiv achim yacht. How do we know it means from the same father? We learn it through Gzeres Shavah. Yalfinon ach va'achva b'nei Yaakov. We learn from the b'nei Yaakov who although they had different mothers, but they shared the same father, Yaakov Avinu. Ma lahala min av, afa bisha eminein. Had the same father, not the same mother. Hachanam leishna. Here as well, when it speaks about brothers, the term brothers, pertaining to Yibam, ki yeshvu acham yachta, brothers who share the same father. So that's how you have all these cases, all these interesting scenarios, where he's your brother, but he's married to somebody who's also to you. Because, very simply, he shares the fathers with you, but not mother. Therefore, your relative from your mother's side could have married him. That's legal. Problem is, when he passes away, you're stuck. You're faced with an erva. So this is his brother's wife, the wife of his brother with whom he shares a mother. So that's not a brother who's connected to Yibon, right? They share a mother. And then this fellow passed away, Shemes. And this wife went on to marry his brother with whom he shares a father. That's perfectly acceptable. This Isha was not a kariv, a relative to this brother. And then he died. Umeis b'lei banim. V'naf lo lefnei avam zel yivam. This isha falls. Again, the lashon falls means she presents herself as a potential yavama. Asur le. She's forbidden. Because way back when she was married to his other brother, with whom he shared a mother. That's a proper erava. There's no heter yibum in that case. And once she attained that status, she became usher to him by way of that original marriage, even though she left him. He passed away and she remarried to his brother from his father's side. She remains usher. That a wife of a brother, whether from the father's side, whether from the mother's side, is asur unless it's in the context of yibum, which of course only applies when they share a father. So since her first time around she was married to his brother with whom he shares a mother, there's no heter yibum there. She becomes asur forever and ever. So even if she proceeds to marry his other brother, with whom he shares a father, who is in the context, who is in the parsha of Yibam, but too late. She's already become usher to Shimon, and therefore even when Reuben passes away without children, he can't address her. Okay, let's turn the page. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'eshes achiv, we have two more cases. To round off the 15, ve'eshes achiv shloi hoye ba'lame ve'kalos. As we said before, when does Yibum apply? When the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, experienced each other in their lifetimes. I mean, they saw each other, they lived together at the same time. But if Shimon only came onto the scene later on, Reuven passes away and Shimon arrives. That's called Eishes Achim Shloi Hoya Be'olam. Reuven and Shimon were not in the same world, so to speak. They weren't there together. They don't relate to each other. They don't identify with each other. And the concept of Yibum, where Shimon can sort of take over Reuven's life, doesn't apply in this case, because they didn't have any joint experience in this world. So now Reuven's wife is an Eishes Achiv, wife of his brother, who he never saw. Shloi Hoya Be'olamai, who didn't live together with him. Even doesn't apply. She's a plain sister-in-law who's an erva. V'kalosai, or let's say Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter-in-law. It's another version of erva, in which case Yibum doesn't apply. Says Rashi on top here. Rashi will describe this case of Eishes Achiv Shloi Hoya Be'olamai. Keep going. He's going to add another name into the mix. You're going to have Reuven, who died childless. You're going to have Shimon, the potential Miyabim, the potential Yabam, the one who wants to do the Yibum. We have Levi, a late comer to the scene. Keep going. Reuven, Shemes B'lei Banim. Reuven passed away without children. After his passing, a new boy joined the family. Ushmoy Levi. V'amad Shimon v'yibim ishtei. Now here comes a great chiddush. There was a pre-existing brother. There was Shimon, who was around with Reuven. So Shimon did the mitzvah of yibim. He was miyabim, Reuven's wife, the yibama. So what's the problem? V'lo isha acharis. Shimon had another wife. So he was miyabim, Reuven's wife, whose name was say Rachel. Shimon had his own wife, whose name was Leah. Now, tragedy struck again. Umeis b'lei banim. Shimon passes away. There are two women who are Yevamis. Rachel, who was previously Reuven's wife. She was the wife of Reuven, who was technically a brother of Levi, but they didn't actually see each other. And he also has Levi, who was Shimon's, he also has Leah, who was Shimon's original wife. So two women are now potential Yevamis, presenting themselves to who? This newcomer, to Levi. V'naflu shteyim lifnei Levi. What happens now? Can he do Yibum? No. Shteyim tours, they're both exempt. Lefi she'eshes Reuven shenisas l'Shimon, because Reuven's wife, Rachel, who then was transferred to Shimon, asur Levi. She can't marry Levi. V'anush kares hala dis kares. Lefi she'eshes ach b'kares. Because really, technically, one may not marry a sister-in-law, right? That's the given here. Kisharaya, she's a parish like any other erva, like a sister, like a mother. So how then do we do Yibum to a sister? Well, she's never, answers Rashi. We get a discount. When we have the Yibum scenario, brother dies childless, Shayu Rachman, the special heter. It's limited to very specific circumstances. For instance, she's married to his brother who he never saw. He came over only later after his death. Shemei's cousin Ledasa, Reuven passed away before Levi was born. She's not mutter to him. She reverts to the standard Isser of Eishes Achim, which is Asser. Dechsiv ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov. They have to experience each other. Shoyishlam Yeshiva Achas Bo'ilam. Therefore, in our case, Mishmeis Reuven. Once Reuven passes away, Nesra Levi Yisraelam. Reuven's wife, Rachel, becomes Asser to Levi forever and ever. She's like a regular sister-in-law who has children. Once again, the whole heter is to allow Yibum. There's no Yibum. She's back to square one. She's a sister-in-law who's also. So then once she attains that status, she's labeled, she's tagged as an erva. That stays, that stigma stays on her forever. Here comes a chiddush. Even though right now, why is she presenting herself to Levi? Because of Reuven? No! She's done with Reuven. She already remarried. She was in the siyabim to Shimon. We can't ignore her history. She was tagged as an erva to Levi. Once tagged, always tagged. Va'afilu achshe, even now, shenafel v'chanaf. Why is she presenting herself to Levi? Mikoyach nesuyi achav Shimon. Shoye b'ilamoy. She's coming because of Shimon, who's a proper brother. Levi and Shimon saw each other. Asur Levi Shvil Reuven, she remains also to Levi because of her history, because she was previously married to Reuven, who was Lehaya by Lama of Levi. So she's off the map. And the Chiddush is, the other wife as well gets affected, because as we explained, Erva to one, Erva to all. Ukeshem she Asur Levi, just as Rachel cannot marry Levi, because of her history with Reuven, Kach Tzaras Eisha Shimon, Ha'acheres Asura, likewise Leah, who is Shimon's wife, is also Asur, because the household becomes Asur on Levi. The Alfin Lekamon, Alkol Ha'arayis, Ha'indus Olav Bekaris, we learned that all the Arayis, who carry with them the potential Kuris, Shenaflu in front of the Yibam, Im Tzarisein, who present themselves to Yibam, to the Yavam, with their fellow wives, Sheshtein, Peturis, they both are Pater, it's all-encompassing. If he should go ahead and marry them, he gets kares, because they're arayas. They're like a sister-in-law. There's no heter of yibum. So they revert back to the original status. They're plain and simple sisters-in-law. Once the Torah exempts them from yibum, you don't have to add irsurim. They're automatically asur. By default, they're asur. It's as though they're a sister-in-law with children, which are certainly asur. Interesting lumdus of Rashi. It's not that the Torah adds it is. They're Asr by default. The starting point is Asr. A sister-in-law is Asr. Elamai, when it's a scenario which requires Yibam, which justifies Yibam, Torah suspends that Isr, is matter that Isr. But otherwise, the Isr is there. It remains in place. Continues the Mishnah. Hara'il. So let's go back to all 15 cases. All these 15 arayis, where they present themselves to Yibam, to the Yavam, poitroi to say, not only are they pater, we want to learn from a pasuk that a Yavam who carries on herself another label, so aside from being a sister-in-law, from a deceased brother who died childless, she's also the Yavam's daughter, mother-in-law, etc., they are pater from Yibam. That affects their tzora as well, the other wife as well, the entire household is affected. However, says the Mishnah, that only applies if they both fall together, which means they both experienced the nefilas yibam at the same time. So Reuven, who died childless, left over two women, Rachel and Leah. One of them is an erva on Shimon, so her iser extends and sort of spreads to the other wife as well. That's because they were both in the same potential Yibum experience. But let's say one left the scene before Reuven passed away. I was not present at the time of Yibum. She's not reckoned with. She's not part of the equation. The Kulani Mesu, let's say the daughter who was married to Reuven, Shimon's daughter married to Reuven, passed away before Reuven did. So at the point of Yibum, when Reuven passed away, which activates or triggers the Yibum process, Rachel was no longer here. She wasn't part of this household. We have other examples, Imian, let's say she was a Ketana, in which case her brother can marry her off. It's only a Kedushin Rabbanon, and the Halacha is she could just walk off. Mian means to refuse, she just walk away. So it's not a true marriage, Minatera. So Minatera, she's not really part of that household. In this Gashu, let's say the Erva got divorced before her husband passed away. So she wasn't there when Yibum took effect. Or she went to islands. Let's say it turns out that these Arayas were unfit for marriage. The island is an Isha who can't possibly have children, so the entire Kedushin is not a legitimate Kedushin. It's a Mekach Tos. In which case, it turns out she wasn't really part of that family. In this case, she's not part of the equation. We ignore her presence. So Rasan Mataris, so the other wife, can be Mekayim Mitzvah Yibum. So in our case, we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon's daughter. But Shimon's daughter passed away before Reuven did. She was she was off the scene before Reuven passes away. Now, when Reuven passed away without children, he only left one wife. She's a proper Yevama. She's a total stranger to Shimon. She's not his Erva. All she is a sister-in-law. Sister-in-law is Mutama. She has no children. However, says the Mishnah, you can't apply this to all cases. You can't say the mother of his mother-in-law, the mother of his father-in-law, she didn't say islands. Turns out they were islands unable to give birth. They had children. So the mother-in-law. Or Shimenu, oh, they were Ketanis who can just walk off. Because evidently they were Gedolos, they had children. Okay. So Mishnah will elaborate further and play out the scene. Ketzad Poitrei Tzirusin, when we say that the Erva will affect the other wife as well. How does this happen? Let's spell it out. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Hoysa Bitei, Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven. Or Yachas Mekol Arayas or Elu, or any other, the other Arayas were Nesuis L'Ochem married to Reuven, his brother. V'lo Yisha Acheres, Reuven had another wife. So Shimon has a daughter, Rachel, married to Reuven. And Reuven has a wife, Leah. Umeis, Reuven passes away without children. Kashem Shabit Eptur, just as Rachel is Pata from Yibum, because she's not Erva. She's not allowed to marry Shimon. So just as she's Pater, Kachzeras Eptur, the other wife is Pater as well, the Eptur extends and affects the other wife as well. That's Tzora. What about Tzora's Tzora? How does it go further? Very simple. Holcha Tzora's Pita. Let's say Leah, who is the Tzora of Rachel, now goes ahead and marries another brother. And this is Lachav Hasheni. She marries Levi. Who's allowed to marry her. She's not Levi's daughter. So to him, she's Mutal Yibum. So he's Miyabim her. V'lo Yisha Acheres. Levi had another wife. He had Bilha. And he passed away, leaving both wives behind. Umeis, he left the world without children. So now they all come back to Shimon for another shot. Kishem Shetzeres Pitei Ptur, just as Leah is Pata, because once Aser, always Aser. Since she was already Pata from even the first time around. Right? Remember when Reuben passed away. And he left behind Rachel, who was Shimon's daughter, with Leah, who was not Shimon's daughter. They both became affected. They both are Pater. And now Leah assumed the status of a regular sister-in-law. She's labeled an Erva for all time. So even if she goes and remarries another brother, and now that other brother passes away, so now she's presenting herself to Shimon again from a different vantage point, from a different direction, from Levi. But once she's a Tzoras Erva, she's always Aser. Not only that, it affects the other wife as well. So Levi was married to another wife. She also becomes Pater. She's also affected. Because Shem Shetaras Pita Ptur, just as Leah is Pater to Shimon. Kach Tzora Tzora Saptura. Likewise, the other wife as well. And just goes on and on and on. That Tzora Tzora will marry somebody else who has another wife. It affects it all the way down the line. Afila and Meya, up until even 100. Even 100 marriages will be affected. Ketzad. So what then does the Mishnah mean? Emesu tzurisein mutarais. Let's say the erva, Shimon's daughter, dies along the way before Shimon passed, before Reuven passes away. She's off the scene. She's taken out of the equation. And the other wife is now an ordinary, conventional, proper Yevama. Because when Yibum kicked in, when Reuven passed away, she was the only wife on the scene. So therefore, she's mutter to marry Shimon Tzurisein Mutaris. How does this play out? Very simply, Hosei Bitoi. If Shimon's daughter, Achas B'kol Arayis, Elu, all the other Arayis, Nu Sos L'Achiv, they were married to Reuven, V'lo Yisha Acheres, and Reuven had another wife. But then, along the way, Mesa Bitoi Nizgarsha. Let's say Rachel, who was Shimon's daughter, married Reuven, passed away, or she got divorced before Reuven passed away. So she's off the scene. When Yibum triggered, when Yibum was activated, and only then did Reuven pass away. We don't have to reckon with her, Tzirasa Muteres, the other wife is Mutter. She's a plain, simple, legitimate Yibum. Concludes the Mishnah. Let's say, as follows, let's say, Shimon had a young daughter, so Bita, but she was Ketana. And Ketana, as we learned, cannot have a proper Kedusha Minat Torah. It's only Kedusha Minat Rabban. And she went ahead and she married Reuven. She has the ability to turn his back on him to walk away. V'leimina happens to be she didn't do that. She remained married to him until he passed away without children. So now we have a problem. Because on the one hand, Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. It should affect her and the Yitzhara as well. Yitzhara's erva. On the other hand, let's keep in mind, she's not properly married Minat Torah. So Minat Torah, we don't reckon with Shimon's daughter. It's as though she's not on the scene. So what do we do here? We strike a compromise. So the other wife, Reuven's other wife, Leah, she can't be exempted completely. Because technically, Minat Torah, she's not really a Tzara's erva. Right? Because Minat Torah, there's no other wife on the scene. Rachel's marriage isn't really a proper marriage. But on the other hand, we don't want it to appear as though we're allowing a Tzara's erva to be Mesiabim. So we strike a compromise. We do Chalitza. And not Yibum. I'll tell you this interesting kasha. We have a full list of the 15 arayos. What about Nida? Let's say the Isha falls Yibum and she's a Nida. Why can't we say that she's Aser and she extends, the Isser extends to the Tzara, just as the other arayos? This gives three terutzim. It's very different than your conventional erva. You see, Shimon's daughter, it's a personal closeness, a personal relationship. It's his personal erva. As opposed to Nida. Nida is also on anybody. It's not something directed at a certain person. It's the Isha's status, which affects anybody, any man. So therefore, it doesn't apply in our Mishnah, this halacha, that Nefila Leibum affects herself and everybody around her, only pertains to something which is directly related to this brother. Another third says Tosfos, the fact is that Vidyevit, if one is Miyabim, even on Nida, he's Kaina. So she's really a potential Yibum candidate, even when she's in a state of Nida, even though you're not meant to do it, but technically it can work. Another Torah says Tosfos, in contrast to the other Arayis in the Mishnah, where we have a cloud that once they're Usur, at one point they always remain Usur. We don't change the status later on, based on the Gemara later. That's the Halacha. But by Nida, we wouldn't say that. Just because she's on Nida right now, we can wait a couple of days. It's not a permanent condition. The fact is, Tosfos brings that the whole point is based on Durachad Archinoim. We don't want to make people wait around. Aser, Mutter, Aser, well, neither even to her husband. This applies even to a regular marriage. Right? She's Tummy, she's Torah, that's the way life works. So you wouldn't say once Aser, always Aser. You would have to wait until she becomes Mutter. And this, therefore, says Tosfos, the halachis applying to other arayos doesn't apply to Nida, and therefore it's not included in the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara Kasha, what's with the list in the Mishnah? Michti, isn't it so that Kulu Machoiz Ishayal Finan? Fact is, how do we even know this? That if a Yevama happens to be an Erva, she's potter from Yibam. We happen to learn it from Machoiz Isha, a sister in law, as the Gemara later will explain. If that's the case, shouldn't we mention the source reference first? Listen, Machoiz Isha Bereisha. Shouldn't the first thing on the list be sister-in-law? She's a source for the concept that an Erev is Patam and Ayibim. Why don't we start from other ones? The Chitim, perhaps you'll say, Tana. The Tana, the Mishnah, adopted a system based on severity. who carries the most severe einish, he goes first. The reason why the Mishnah discussed daughters first is because that's the most severe of all the arayis. Why? What's the penalty? Sreifa. Right? Misa by burning. Rab Shimoni, we're following Rab Shimon, who holds the Amar Sreifa Chamura, penalty by Sreifa is the worst, the most severe, and therefore, we start listing the most severe arayis, and then we go down the line. Yach, if that's the case, listening Chamoise Beresha, the first one should be a mother-in-law. The Iker Sreifa by Chamoise Ksiva. What is the Pasuk? Apply Sreifa. What do we have? A clear expression of strafe in the Torah by a mother-in-law. And we learn the other ones from there. So that should be the first one. The source should be mentioned first. The Iker strafe of a chamoisei ksiva. Void another kash. Basar chamoisei. After you speak about mother-in-laws, who should be the next on the list? Right? If you drop, if you go from higher to low, listen, kalose. First comes a mother-in-law and then daughter-in-law. Why? The basar strafe of skila chamur. What's a tad less severe than burning? Skila, death by stoning. That's the kalas, the daughter-in-law. So if we're working with levels of severity, we should speak about the most severe, and then drop down incrementally. Go from chamayse to kalase. So why then do you start with pita and bas pita? Ella says, the Gemara, you're right. We're not discussing einshin and severities. Rather as follows. It's actually based on a positive element. There's some excitement involved here. Ella bita kiven the asim edrasha. Fact is that the iser pertaining to one's daughter, and Rashi explained, daughter means daughter from a forced relationship, not his wife's daughter. How do we even know that's aser? Kiven the asim edrasha. That is derived from edrasha, teresh v'al peh, something which we invested our own efforts in producing. Chaviva leads very dear to the Tan, and therefore he chooses to discuss that first. Let's speak about the more exciting halachas, the one that we introduced, the Torah Shebaal Peh that we discovered, that comes first, and then we proceed to the other ones. So that explains why Bita is mentioned first. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? All the arayis were discovered, were introduced based on drashas and on Torah Shebaal Peh. Kulu nami bedrasha asu. The fact is, how do we even know that an erva is pata from Yibam? Based on a drasha, as we learned from Achais Isha before, right? So it's all drasha related. So it really is no difference between Bitoi, which comes from a drasha, and the other arayas that are pata from Yibam based on a drasha. And it's very, very, very different. He is true to the Indian Yibam, Asher Medrasha. The fact that all arayas are pata from Yibam, that's derived from a drasha. But Iker Isirayu, the fundamentals of their Isra, the fact that an ant is Asher, that's a pasuk. Behed yiksibu. These are psukim. Psukim where we clearly list these isurim pertaining to these nashim. So the ikr isur is clear in the Torah. As opposed to bitoi. How do we even know bitoi is also ikr isurim with drasha? The ikr isur is not from a drasha. The entire concept is drasha based. And that gives chavivus, dearness. And the Tana favors it and lists it first. Which drasha? Amar Rava. Amar li Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. He taught me as follows. We're trying to learn two things. First of all, that bitoy is aser. Bitoy manu sasai, right? Not from a proper wife. That's number one. How do we even know that the halacha of sreifa applies in these cases? Both are learned from Gzeira Shava. Asya heina heina, by applying the words heina. Asya zima zima, Sreifa is learned from zima zima. Let's go to Rashi. Rashi on the fourth line. Asya ena hena, li yisura. Asya zima zima, li Sreifa. Rashi explains. The bitoy mi ishtoy. Regarding his wife's daughter, a daughter from a proper wife, whether it's his own daughter or from a previous marriage, or from his properly married, a wife that he properly married. V'chein bas bitoy, bas penoy, or grandchildren from this type of wife. Yal from ervas isha bita, that's all learned from the pasuk. Ervas ish obita le segala, aribita mi ishtoi, bichlal bas ishtoi. So whether it's his wife's daughter from another marriage or a daughter they both gave birth to, so it's all included in ervas ish obita. Avo bita min asase, what about a daughter from an anusa, from forced marriage, illegitimate marriage? Lo mishtama, that we don't learn from this pasuk. Why dechsev ervas isha obita, right? Veloshen ishus means, Rashi said this in the Mishnah, yikidushin mashma, a properly married wife. So how do we know bitu manusosa is asra? The goli rachmano ubas bitu ubas pei manusosa by akra. We have another pasuk. The pasuk says, actually this pasuk. Pasuk says, bas bitu, bas b'noi from an anusa is asra. Erbas bas bincha, ubas bitcha. It doesn't say they came from a proper wife. Bachaloshin ishas like siv. So from here we learn that a granddaughter from an isha who you're not married to is also an erva. What about a daughter that we don't know yet? A daughter from an anusa. We learn from anusa. By the anusa it says, so we have the word heina. We know the ishus. The other pasuk speaking about a daughter coming from a properly married wife, it says shera heina. We connect the two things. Just as over there, daughter is like granddaughter. Afhocha here as well. By the anusa afkan bita kibas bita, we equate daughter to granddaughter. So now we know bita manusos. That's heina heina. What about the iser leading to streifa, to the onisha streifa? That's learned from zima zima. Let's streifa. Ksiv vacha be bita mi ishtoi. Here by bita mi ishtoi it says zima hi, loshen zima. Ksiv be streifa. By the penalty of burning it says zima hi, beishi streifa. We learn malhal on streifa, just as over there, zima in the context of streifa, afkan streifa as well, bita mi ishtoi produces streifa. What about bita manusosai? Well, that's already connected to bita miishtoi. Helfinam einahenam bas ishtoi. Once we connect bita manusosai to bas ishtoi, we assume that it's all connected, and just like she's usa to begin with, the same penalty that applies to bita miishtoi will apply to bita manusosai. So bottom line is, the ikar iser bita manusosai was not clearly stated in the Torah. Rather, it was derived from a gzeira shava, from a drasha, and therefore it's chaviv to the Tanoi, as the Mishnah of the Zohar says, Chavivim, Chaviv Yenim, Yenim Shal Divrei Seifim, Yosim Yenish. The words of Divrei of Seifim is more a Chaviv, the Torah Shva Peh, which requires effort, Hishtadlus, and work, is more dear to Hashem than the Yenish Shal Torah, than the Torah Shva B'Chsav. So Tana here is following that line as well. Bitei, which is Midrasha Asiyas Chaviv, and that's listed first. Okay, we continue with Hashem tomorrow. So what do we learn today? We have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passes away childless. He leaves over two wives who are potential Yavamis who present themselves to Shimon, surviving brother. Problem is, Rachel, one of Reuven's wives, happens to be one of these 15 Nashim mentioned in the Mishnah, in which case, no Yavam is applicable. And therefore, by extension, that Torah extends to the entire household, to the other wife as well, to Leah. And even if Leah in turn marries another brother who has another wife, once Leah becomes Aser on Shimon, she's now tagged as an ordinary erva, a sister-in-law, which is asa l'olam, that affects everybody that she comes into contact with, going down the line, ad seifa olam. We learned about the fact that if the erva leaves the scene before Reuben passes away, she's not part of the equation, not reckoned with, in which case it's tzara, is a proper yivama, eligible for yibum. And we concluded with the seder and mishnah. Why do we mention bitay first? Kiven de asim edrasha, chavi v'lei. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.